to share with us today, I've entitled today, To Be Led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking through from Romans chapter 8, and just want to sort of work our way through some of Romans chapter 8. And when you read through Romans chapter 8, at least 17 times the word Spirit is used. The Holy Spirit is mentioned at least 17, you know, basically 17 times. So Paul is placing an emphasis on the Spirit of God in our lives and the impact that the Spirit of God can have in our lives as we listen to him and as we spend time in the Word and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And so Paul here is encouraging the church in Rome to get beyond their natural thinking and to come to a place of thinking through the realm of the Spirit. So they've got a natural thinking, they're busy, they've got these natural laws. Rome was built on very much on intellect and very much on laws. That's what the Roman Empire was built upon. And that's how they achieved their earthly success. But praise God, there is more than an earthly success that is needed for our lives, but there is a spiritual success that is needed for each and every one of us and for everyone that is involved in the world. And verse 1 of chapter 8 says this of Romans: there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. So the law of life of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus is setting us free. It is setting us free from the law of sin and of death. We have been redeemed. That law has been broken over our lives, because when we come to Christ, we receive eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so that eternal life is in us. And you know, the Word of God tells us, and I thank God for this, it says, there is now no condemnation.
Amen.
Praise God. Don't be condemned. Don't let the enemy condemn you. Don't let your history condemn you. Mm-hmm. Begin to look to the future in God. Look to the days. Look to the promises that are in God. Don't look at the past, but look to the future in Christ. For those that are in Christ, there is no condemnation. And it is through grace, the grace of God, that work of the cross is being applied in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We need to position ourselves. We need to line up with the Word of God. We need to allow the Word of God to shape us, to mold us, because the Word of God wants to take us to a higher place. The Word of God wants to lift us to another dimension. The Word of God wants to take us beyond where we are now and take us deeper into what he's doing and what the Word of God wants for us. And so it's interesting how that, as we even look into, if we were to just consider Romans 12, and I think there's a wonderful verse there in verse 3 where it says about the fact that we are being transformed. Hallelujah. You know, we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So the work of the Word of God, the work of the Spirit, is about a transformation work. It is about bringing us from death and bringing us into life. It is about that experience that God seeks us to know him, who to know is life eternal. And so Paul is reminding us in Romans 12 to be transformed. It's a journey that we're on. It's a process that we're going through. And so God wants us to walk that journey and to go with him in that journey, because he, through Christ, has come to bring us to a place of no condemnation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 4 in Romans 8. And it says this: in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are to walk not according to the flesh, but we are to walk according to the Spirit of God. Don't get to the place where you are being conquered and succumbing to the flesh.
Amen.
Because the ways of the flesh are not the ways of the Spirit. And God wants you to walk in freedom.
Amen.
God wants you to know that freedom in Christ. And I know there's a battle that we read in, you know, about a battle for the mind in Ephesians. And there is that battle that goes on. Mm-hmm. But we know that we have the victory and we have to battle through. And thank God for the battle, because the battle tells us that we're still alive.
Amen.
The battle tells us that we're a problem to the devil. The battle tells us that we are the ones who are going to change things around us.
Amen.
Because if we were just sitting around and life was easy, then I don't think we were doing the right thing. I don't think our relationship with the Lord is on fire enough. I don't think that we're changing things around us. But because we're in the battle, in the heat of the battle, the devil's raging against us. But okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The standard is raised. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. The standard is raised, and the victory of the cross is there through Christ Jesus. And we know that we shall win this battle. And every fight that's worth fighting, you know, there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations, there's going to be places and people that stand against us. But guess what? We're going to come through this. We're going to come through in victory. And so let's, in verse 5, it says there, it says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit they set their minds upon. So right there in verse 5 he's saying, those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Where's our mind focused? Where is our situation focused? You know, our minds these days with the media so often is being focused onto the things of the flesh, bringing us to, you know, it's brought some people to a place of panic. It's brought people's mental health to a state of where they're struggling and they're feeling fragile and distressed and some have even taken their lives. You know, we need to go beyond the flesh, because you see, God is Spirit and God wants us to focus upon the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that gives life to this mortal body. And so as we focus on the spiritual area of life, then we shall see God. We shall see God working in all these things as we focus upon Him. And Paul said, you know, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Mm-hmm. His focus was not on his circumstances and his situation. His focus was on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he would have never said, when he was in prison, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. His focus was on the fact that he was living for Christ, he was glorifying Christ, and he was going to press through into victory, and the circumstances around him were not going to control him.
Amen.
And this is the place where, in the Spirit, we're not controlled by circumstances, but we are controlled by the blessings and the power and the presence of God over our lives. Paul is talking to us about changing our thinking.
Yeah.
We can become prisoners with our thinking.
Yeah.
We can be imprisoned by the way we think. Our points of view can imprison us. But you know, when we get hold of the Word of God, and the Word of God and the Spirit of God gets hold of us, it begins to change us. It begins to change our thinking. If we just turn to Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, and this is the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto you. You know, it's not by might.
Yeah.
It's not by our intellect.
Yeah.
But it is by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And you know, we need to tune our spirits to a greater degree. We need to be in such tune with the Spirit that when we hear the voice of the Lord, it will just cut. It will do the work of God in such a powerful way. And we have to begin to be in that situation. We have to prepare ourselves. Because when a mountain stands before us, We can speak to that mountain and tell it to become flat, tell it to become a plain, tell it to lay down before us and to become absolutely nothing. In other words, a plain that we can walk easily over, that we shall pass over it. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, he says, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, shouting, crying, grace, grace, grace unto you. The headstone, it's the capstone. This is a symbol of when the temple is being built. As you know, you and I are the temple of God. Today, we are the temple. In the Old Testament, when the temple was built, when they laid that capstone, they shouted, grace, grace. What does that mean? That means rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing. And so for us in this day, in the day of grace that God has given to us, it is a day of rejoicing.
Amen.
What a day of rejoicing it will be. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, we can rejoice in the presence of God. We can rejoice because of the grace of God that is in our lives and over our lives, because God is for us and not against us. And so we can rejoice, we can praise the Lord together. Let the capstone of our lives, let that capstone, that headstone over us, be a headstone of rejoicing and praising God. And so as we rejoice and praise God, we can shout, grace, grace, grace to that mountain, rejoice,
amen,
rejoice, rejoice, and see that God is moving in our lives. The Holy Spirit was given to us to bring us to a place of change. And it needs it. Our lives need to be changed.
Yeah.
And for this to happen, it needs God's work in our lives and the Holy Spirit working in us and moving through us. And it is a process of change and development that God is at work in us.
Yeah.
He's working on our soul. Or our minds, as you could term it. It depends, you know, soul and mind are two interchangeable words.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's working on our soul, he's working on our mind, he's working on our thinking. I remember one preacher saying, you know, God's working on your stinking thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to change your thinking. Hallelujah. He wants you to realize that, and the words of Isaiah sort of come ringing into my heart just right now, for my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Here. Yeah. Thank, you know, thank God, because if God thought like me, he'd have killed me a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So thank God he has different thoughts towards me. He has different aspirations, and his thoughts are not my thoughts, and his ways are not my ways, because he's doing it differently. Praise God for that, because I'd have been dead by now, I'm telling you. But God has got a plan, God has a purpose, and God is thinking in a different way, and God is moving us forward step by step, moment by moment. And so he's working on our mind, our soulish man. And God is about to make God is continually about making changes to us. He's changing our thinking, he's changing our understanding, he's changing our approach to him and to his word. And as he does that, then we will know his presence and power working through us. And so we need, as the people of God, we need to be focusing on spiritual things.
Amen.
In verse 5, focus on the things of the Spirit, because the things of this world will have to grow strangely dim in their power and their authority over us. That's, you know, that song, the things of this world will grow strangely dim in his light and his glory and praise.
Yeah.
And what does that really mean? It means that we, as the children of God, as we focus on him, then the things of this world have less of a grip, have less of a hold, have less of an ability to shape us and to mold us and to form us.
Amen.
We are on the potter's wheel,
yeah,
as in Amos. We're on that wheel, that potter's wheel, where God is shaping us and molding us and preparing us to be the vessel that will carry a powerful anointing. This is where God is calling us.
Amen.
This is why God has saved us. This is why God wants to bless us. He wants to prepare us to be that vessel of honor, that vessel, that temple vessel, that where from each and every one of us, he can pour into us himself and pour out of us his glory upon others.
Amen.
That we will be the vessels that carry the presence of the living God in our lives. And people that we come into contact with will see and know and sense and feel the presence of a living God in each and every one of us. That is what God wants. That is God's plan for it. Because as I said the other week, you know, God said, Jesus said to us, greater works shall you do in my name.
Yeah.
So there has to be that preparation. There has to be that process that goes on in us. And we can do one of two things. We can either surrender totally. That reminds me of that song about surrender. I surrender all. Thanks, Joan. I was thinking the Billy, you know, the Billy Graham song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. And as we surrender to Christ, that means giving up everything.
Mm-hmm.
That means no holding back.
Amen.
That means that I am no longer in charge of me.
Amen.
And neither is the media.
Amen.
But I am, I am allowing God to be in charge of me, and that God will direct us and lead us. And you know, we need to be the prophetic voice in the nations.
Amen.
Hearing the voice of God, the church needs to arise up and to take his presence and power and authority in Christ Jesus. And as we do that, we shall see things change. But, you know, for that to happen, there has to be a true repentance in the church and into people's life. What does repentance really mean? It's having a change of thinking. That's what repentance means. Having a change of thinking.
Yeah.
Having our stinking thinking changed. Yeah. That we actually bring our thinking into line with the Word of God.
Yeah.
And that when we come in line with the Word of God, then we'll begin to have the thoughts of God. We will begin to understand what God is planning to do. We will begin to hear the voice of God clearly, shaping us and molding us and preparing us, that we're not walking, as it says in verse 4 of Romans 8, according to the flesh, but we are walking according to the Spirit. And I tell you, when you start to walk according to the Spirit, wow, there's a quickening, there's an excitement, there's a presence, and there's a power, and there is change that is about to come.
Amen.
Glory to God. And God wants that to happen in our lives. Verse 7 of Romans chapter 8 says, because the mindset of the flesh is hostile towards God. Wow, that's a strong word. The mindset of the human mind is actually hostile.
Yeah.
It's actually been aggressive towards God. It has been pushing God back, and it's pressing against the ways of God. And it goes on to say, For it does not subject itself to the law of God.
No.
For it is not even able to do so. In other words, our old nature, our old soulish man will never submit to God.
No.
There has to be a change. This is why Paul says, you know, about the renewing of the mind. This is why in Isaiah, God speaks to Isaiah through Isaiah saying, for my thoughts, you've got to change your thinking. You have to change your spiritual approach. You have to be different than the rest of the world. If you are to impact this world, if you and I are to have a presence in the world that is really going to bring through an impact, because Jesus was that typical example. The impact that Christ had was because he was different.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't think like the religious leaders. He didn't think like the local authorities and the national authorities. He didn't think or live like them. He lived in the passion and the presence of the Spirit of God because he was the Son of God. And we today, if we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are the sons
Amen.
Of God. Hallelujah. And being sons, we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus.
Wow.
In all that Christ walked in, so we too are able to walk in that with him, because he has made a way where there is no way. Hallelujah. And so we can begin to walk in that because we're being changed in his image. We're being transformed into the very image of our God. Praise his wonderful name. But, you know, in verse 6, as I said, it said, for the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. Our minds are set against God. When we were born in the Spirit, there it says our minds were set against the Spirit of God. And God wants you and I to realize that as we allow him to move, as we allow him to flow through our lives, then we will change things around us. But you see, we have to crucify the flesh. We have to crucify this soulish man. We have to bring him to the foot of the cross. And Paul says, take up the cross daily. You know, he says, being crucified with Christ. And Paul's daily crucifying the flesh, taking up the cross. And the flesh is being nailed to it. And so that he's crucifying it daily. And so we need to crucify our thinking at times. We need to crucify the way our soulish man is living. Because the soulish man is set on living in rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Rebellion to God. Rebellion against the ways of God. And sometimes we say, oh no, no, that's just a different thinking. It's just my opinion. No, it's rebellion. If we don't line up with the word of God, we're moving in a realm of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Andrew, that's strong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth. We have to walk hand in hand. You know, the word of God says, if two cannot agree, how can they walk together? We have to agree with God.
Amen.
Otherwise, we cannot walk with God. And we have to begin, you know, and it's like, well, what about my independence? You have no independence. I am interdependent upon God.
Amen.
I am totally reliant upon God. I have survived this long, and I look this good, and I feel this fit because of God.
Amen.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
That is the truth. Because I'll tell you this, if it wasn't because of God, and I know I've just said this earlier, I honestly believe I would not be alive today.
Mm-hmm.
But God is in charge, and God has a plan, God has a purpose, and as long as we begin to push through and to walk towards that purpose with God, he will take us through the challenges, he will take us through the difficulties, because we are being led by the Spirit. We are not immune to things, but God will empower us and strengthen us, and bring us through to a place where the presence and the power of God is working in our lives. So don't be ruled by the natural things, but be ruled by the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be ruled by how you feel. Don't be ruled by what has been happening outside just now, or what is going to happen, what you think is going to happen tomorrow. Be ruled by the word of God, knowing that God has a plan for you, knowing that God is first in your life, knowing that God directs you, and that God is with you, never to leave you, never to forsake you, constantly with you. You know, the old self, the old way of living has to change.
Amen.
And that God, in that change, God is taking us to a higher level
mm-hmm.
in himself. God intends us, wants us to walk with God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God wants us to walk with him. So that's coming up to his level. His ways are higher. His walk is higher. His determination for the things of his kingdom are higher than ours. And his expectation is higher than ours. So we have to rise up. We have to trust him. And we have to walk forward in these things with God. And as we do that, we know the presence of God will begin to work in our lives in a wonderful way.
Amen.
So God is calling us. He's calling us into doing. He's calling us to be a people who are doers of the word. And he's calling us to walk in his presence and to know him whom to know, his life eternal. And verse 8 of that same chapter of Romans says, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Yeah.
Who do you want to please today?
God.
I want to be a God pleaser.
Amen.
I don't want to be a man pleaser. It's pointless exercise. We're called to serve the living God. We're called to be the God pleasers. We're called to bring our lives to a place of subjection to the plans and purposes of God. We're called to bring our lives into submission to the Word of God and into Christ. And as we do that, then we can begin to be God pleasers. We're not here to live this life just to please ourselves. Our first and foremost plan, as far as God is concerned, is that we be God pleasers.
Amen.
And when God is pleased with us, he will bless us beyond blessings.
Amen.
And praise his wonderful name to that. Secondly, if we're walking in the Spirit, then the Spirit will bring forth fruit.
Amen.
The Spirit brings forth fruit.
Yeah.
Are you bringing fruit? I'm not expecting you a bunch of grapes. That's not the fruit I'm talking about, or a bag of apples, or, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is what he's speaking about. In verse 9, it says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness.
Wow.
Praise his wonderful name. We're not in the flesh.
No.
We're not in the flesh. But if anyone is in the Spirit, then we will bring forth the life of Christ. You know, the Spirit of Christ needs to dwell within us. And if he dwells within us, then it says, the word here says, we belong to him.
Amen.
We belong to God.
Amen.
You've been chosen by God. You have been adopted. You are a choice person.
Amen.
Adopted into the promises and blessings and the household of God. And so as we look at that verse there, dwelling in the Spirit, if he dwells in us, then we're in relationship with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says this. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And are ye not, you are not your own? Praise God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And verse 20 says, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, the Bible teaches that we're spirit, soul and body. That's what the word teaches us. And both in every aspect of our lives, we are to glorify God. We are to glorify God in our bodies. We are to glorify God in our soulish man.
Mm.
And we are to glorify God in our spirit.
Amen.
Everything about us should be glorifying to God. Everything about us should be pointing to Jesus.
Amen.
To glorify God. And so as we journey with the Lord, the word tells us that there shall be fruit in our journey. The word tells us and reveals to us that as we walk with the Lord, there shall be fruit in our journey with the Lord. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says this. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here, there is no conflict with the law. That's from the NLT version. But the Holy Spirit controls our lives. You know, we are submitting our lives to the direction and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit hears what the Father says about our lives, and he speaks to us the mysteries of the throne room. Jesus told us that he was sending the Comforter, the one to guide us, the one to lead us, the Holy Spirit. But the expectation is that when the Holy Spirit is in our lives, when there is that turning around, when there is that refusing to follow this soulish man anymore, when there is that turning away from that soulish man, then from now on there becomes a different kind of fruit that comes in our lives. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Here, there is no conflict with the law. This is not in conflict with the law, but this is actually part of the law. You know, and if you and I, as the word tells us in John 15, if we are grafted into the vine, We're grafted into the vine, then the love of Jesus, the presence of Jesus will flow out from us, and it will produce the fruit of Christ. It will produce a fruit that is visible to others, that will draw men and women towards us and eventually into Christ. Because all we're doing, all we are being, are signposts pointing people to Jesus. That's all we do. We point people to Jesus. This is the way. Walking. This is the relationship that we walk with Christ. This is the relationship that we walk in the presence of the living God. And as we do that, we shall know his power more and more. Verse 10 of Romans 8. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Oh, praise God. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, our body is condemned to death. Right at the beginning of when Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against God, the body was condemned to death. But yet the spirit is alive because of the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
And today we're alive. We're a living, breathing spirit and soul and body, living in this carnal body, living in this fleshly body at this time. But you know, God is dealing with, as God is through Christ, has dealt with that, and we'll come to that shortly. For us, the body at this time is unredeemed. It suffers at times pain, sickness, and disease. It is unredeemed. But it is our spirit at this time that has been redeemed through the work of Christ. It is our spirit that God is really interested in. You see, because God is spirit. And God created all things. And in all things, Christ is being involved. And Christ is with us. And so first, we find that our spirit is the real thing that God is intending to redeem and to deal with. And to bring us to a place of eternal life in Christ Jesus. We're mortal because of sin in our lives. But the Holy Spirit has come to give us new life. And to bring us out of this world, to transform us, to change us, and to prepare us for the world to come. Praise his wonderful name. We shall be transformed in the, from this body that we're in. We know that when Jesus rose from the dead, he was already in that transformed body. When he came to the disciples, he went through the wall. He appeared in the room. Wow. And there he was. And they were afraid. They thought he was a ghost. And Jesus said, give me food to eat. Touch me, handle me. Yep. This is this new body. This is this transformed body. This is not governed by the things of this world anymore. And so God is doing great things, and God will give us glimpses, will give us an experiences of things that can happen. We spoke on I think it was Wednesday, like this last week, how Philip was translated. He was caught up.
No, ma'am.
And suddenly he's deposited somewhere else. How does that happen? It only happens by the Spirit of God. It only happens by the presence of God. It only happens because Philip was on a trajectory of destination ordained and planned for by God, and he intended that he was going to fulfill his destiny in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so he was translated and moved, and praise God for that. You know, so God is doing a new thing. You know, we might say, well, it's been going on for 2,000 years, it has, since Christ. But to each and every one of us, it's a new thing. It's new to me, it's new to you. And God is doing things in our lives. He rose from the dead, living Jesus in a new transformed body. But that it is the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, that dwells in each and every one of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so that very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that conquered sin, sickness and disease, is now resident within each and every one of us. It is, in other words, the Holy Spirit is making his home in our lives. In other words, he's moved in. In other words, through the blood of Christ, Christ has purchased the residency.
Amen.
He's bought us. And so he's now moving in.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Christ comes in, he's moving into our lives and he's going to make changes.
Amen.
You know, you can guarantee when you buy a house, if it's already decorated and already carpeted, it is not long before the lady of the house, the homemaker, begins to say, I'm making changes. We're having a new kitchen. And then suddenly it's, we're changing the dining room carpet and we're going to redecorate and we're having new furniture and all the old stuff is going and we're changing it. And in the end, the homemaker goes through the whole of the house until she makes the house her house. Is that true? Amen? Yes? And that's what happens. And so the Holy Spirit, when he comes into our life, he's beginning to take possession of every room in our house.
Amen.
And he's beginning the process of changing things. He's clearing things out. I don't need, this is not needed. I'm taking it to the skip of God's eternal fire. And I'm redecorating and I'm putting in new things. I'm changing the habits of things in your life. I'm taking that habit away and I'm replacing it with something of the power and the presence of God. So God is about to redecorate you internally. Hallelujah, for want of a better word. I know the men don't often like decorating. Oh, no. Glory to God. Hanging wallpaper, that, you know, that can be a challenge. And so, but the Holy Spirit says, I'm redecorating. I'm changing things. I'm about to do a work in you. I'm going to go through every room in your life and I'm going to take away the things that are no longer godly. Do you know, we kick against that. No, God, don't take that away yet. I think I need that one. You know, I need to hang on to that one a little bit, God. No, he's taking them away.
Amen.
He's removing that which hinders you and me from going on further and drawing closer into his presence. And so God is a God of change. He's removing things. He's replacing things. He's fixing things. And he's making his home you. He's making his place, that we are the temples of the living God. This is, we are to be the home for the Spirit of God to reside within each and every one of us. And he's going into every nook and cranny and he's clearing out. He's getting all the cobwebs. He's getting all the dirt. He's getting everything that's, you know, it's like in the kitchen. You pull, it takes a while, but you pull the fridge out or the washing machine and you look behind there and you think, dear Lord, is something dying underneath there or is something, you know, and you have to get them out and you have to clean out. And initially it's like, well, you can't see anything. It's all right. Don't move it. There's nothing. It can be okay. But the moment that you begin to move things and look behind, you begin to see that there are things need cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And there's changes that need to be made and so forth in our lives. Sometimes God is moving some of the heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
He says, I need to move this. There needs to be a deep clean
mm-hmm.
within our lives. And as we have a deep clean of the Spirit in our lives, then we'll see the presence and the power of God changing the way we think, changing the way we act, changing our personal spiritual dimension, changing our personal presence and power of the Spirit as we move in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so he's moving forward. And if we read then in verses, continue to read in Romans 8, we'll read through from verse 11 through to 18, then I'll just backtrack from there. But if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who indwells you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. If you are living according to the flesh, you must die.
Mm.
But if you live by the Spirit,
amen,
you are putting to death the deeds of the body, and you will live.
Mm. Wow.
For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ Jesus, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's about drawing closer. It's about drawing closer to God. Don't become a bondservant to fear. To fears in this world. Don't become a bondservant to those fears. But become a saint of the living God, the spiritual dimension that belongs to you in Christ Jesus, the spiritual dimension of the Lord. You know, we need to be hearing the Holy Spirit and not the clamor of this world that is around us, but we need to be still and hearing his voice, hearing the presence of God, hearing his voice, sensing that very presence of the living God in our lives. I've shared with you at times we've had meetings where there's been a very sense of the presence of God just moving in amongst us. The very presence of something that is not tangible in the natural, but yet there is a presence that you know of God moving amongst you. And so God wants us to be knowing him in that wonderful way. And today, as we've read that last portion, it's about sonship through the Spirit.
Amen.
Today, for you and me, we are sons of the living God. It's about sonship through the Spirit, through Christ Jesus. You see, without Christ's death and resurrection, the Spirit of God could not come to us as he's come. So now it's about sonship through the Spirit of God in our lives. He says, so brothers and sisters, you have, this is from the NLT, he says, so dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature urges to do. So he's saying, by the fact of the Spirit of God dwelling in us, we have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. And you know, the battle against the flesh and blood rages against the Spirit of God. And he's saying, because of the Spirit of God in you, you have no obligation. You don't have to do these things. You know, I know that I've had people tell me, well, it's the devil, he made me do it. No, he didn't. The devil does not have the power and the authority to make you do it. It is you who did this. You desired to do this. And if we resist it, if we resist these desires, conquer these desires by the word of God, don't have that obligation to it. Don't give it a right. Don't give it a calling card upon your life.
Amen.
Verse 13, it says, but if you keep on following it, and this is what people do. You know, just recently we've had people coming along to the church and they are still wanting to follow their historical past. They won't put it down. They tell you they can't. Now, it's just that the desire is so strong for it, it's stronger than the desire to change. The desire for the old way is stronger than the desire for the things of God. And so it says, for if you keep following it, you will perish. And there's no doubt about it. If you follow the desires, the natural desires, it will cause you to perish. It will cause you to die early. But he goes on to say, but if through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will live. It is about you working together with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God in your life, that will give you the power and the ability to turn from it, to turn from those ways, to turn from those evil deeds. And he says, and you will live.
Amen.
And that word live means that you shall have eternal life. It means that you shall go on with God forever. It means that you shall never die in the spirit realm. It means that you'll know the eternal presence of the Father in your life. You know, today in our lives we are dealing with our unredeemed humanness.
Mm.
Our humanity is not redeemed. The price has been paid to bring us to a place of salvation. The price has been paid that our soul and our spirit might live. This body is being touched when it needs to be touched by the power of God to enable us and to keep us moving forward.
Amen.
You know, our complex, sinful passion that sin generates in our lives is so complicated at times, you know, and it seeks to maintain a hold over our bodies. It seeks to hold our minds. It seeks to imprison us. You see, it attacks our minds, it attacks our bodies. It causes our mind to make our body to do wrong things that bring us to a place of sin and failure and death. But the Spirit comes against those things. The Spirit of God wants to move us in a different direction. And so for you and I, we have to begin to cooperate by faith with the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a journey of faith that we walk. And so the journey of faith that we walk is trusting the Word of God. Trusting the Holy Spirit that what He is doing and what He's saying is right for us. And that we will walk through those trials, those difficulties, those situations, those circumstances, and come out the other end in victory.
Amen.
And so we have to begin to trust the Holy Spirit. We are to apply our faith to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. We have to walk in that direction. And as we do that, we shall see change. We shall see progress in our lives. And that this progress is a process that is going on with each and every one of us. You see, God is not a dictator. He says He's a loving Heavenly Father,
mm-hmm.
who is seeking His children who are lost in sin.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're lost in sin today, then God's calling your name.
Amen.
God's calling your name. He knows your name and He's calling your name. And all you need to do is to answer to Him. All you need to do is to reach out to Him, and as He calls your name, just reply. But you see, the devil's trying to drag you back. The things of this world are holding you back. You're being controlled by the things of this world. And the devil's trying to tell you, you're not a child of God.
Okay.
The devil's trying to deceive you. The devil's trying to say, stop you from hearing. He's bringing all sorts of noise. And you know, there's a symptom called tinnitus, and in some cases it can be quite debilitating, the noise levels that go on in your hearing, damaged hearing, and you find it difficult to hear sounds clearly. And in some ways the devil's a little bit like a tinnitus, and he's trying to distort the sound, he's trying to distort the voice of God, and to stop you hearing what God is trying to say to you. And He's trying to prevent you from walking forward with Him. Don't let us be like the children of Israel, who came out of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they could not see God as a loving creator, as a loving rescuer, rescuing them from slavery. They couldn't see God like that. They came out of slavery, and as they came out of slavery, they came into the presence of God, and they stay with a mental attitude of slavery.
Yeah.
They've been slaves for over 400 years, and yet when they came out, they were free, no longer a slave, no longer a slave to fear. But they came out as slaves and ended up living as like slaves for 40 years. Because they sent Moses to see God. They couldn't understand that God was a loving Father. They couldn't understand that God had brought them out of this slavery because He loved them and wanted them to worship Him and wanted that relationship with them. But no, they resisted God. And when Moses went up the mountain to be with God, because they said to Moses, look, Moses, you go. You go to God. You be the one. Again, this is this slave mentality. It's like somebody rules us. Somebody reigns over us. Send Moses. And so they sent Moses to be in the presence of God. And they saw the presence of God on Moses. They saw the power of God on Moses. Mm. And he had to cover his face. They couldn't even stand to view the presence of God on Moses himself. They were living as slaves, because a slave, if you know a slave, when a slave comes before its ruler or leader, the first thing they do is to bow their head. They're not to look at them. They're only to obey their words. And they would, and so they didn't want to see God. They were bowing in one sense, not out of real worship, but out of a form of slave type submission. This is not what God is calling us to do. God is calling us to come to him and see him face to face, eye to eye. He says there's a veil between us, but God wants to remove that veil.
Amen.
He tore the veil in the temple. And God wants that veil to be removed, that we come nose to nose, face to face, eye to eye with God, the very presence of the living God. That we get rid of our slave mentality. We get rid of our idol worship. And that we focus on the living God. And that we are not governed by the things of this world, but we are governed by the Spirit of God. The children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, as soon as things got a little bit tough, when Pharaoh reappeared on the scene, they said, well, you brought us out here to die. They focused on the natural.
Mm-hmm.
Don't focus on the natural. And God came and did the supernatural. When they're wanting food, they focused on the natural. You brought us out here to die. There's more food in Egypt. You know, we could be eating leeks and onions. Great. Sounds a fabulous diet, doesn't it? Leek and onions. God said, I'll provide. I'll give you the food of angels.
Amen.
And he gave them the food of heaven. And they still complained. Because they had this slave mentality. God wants you and I to come out of a slave mentality. He wants you and I to realize that God wants to be the Heavenly Father. God wants to hug his children. God wants to spend time with his children. God wants to deliver us from this mentality of slavery. Slavery to sin. Slavery to fear. God wants to break that slavery attitude, and he wants us to bring us to a place of perfect love that casts out all fear. And God wants that relationship. You see, the verse 16 of Romans 8 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit himself, God's Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Hallelujah. Joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Another part of the scripture that says that we're joint heirs with Christ. And so we have to realize that God is calling us into his very presence. God is going to lead us by his Spirit. You know, we're in a process now even that being deified. Now, people, you know, the evangelicals don't like this, do they? That we're being deified, that we're being made to become partakers of the divine nature, that there's something divine about us. Let's get it right. There is something today that is divine about the children of God.
Amen.
Yeah, because we are being deified. We are being made in his image. And if God is divine, then his children are also divine.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that takes some handling. We're on that journey of being made in a deification of the presence and the power of God. It means that we are becoming like God. It means that through the grace of the work of Jesus Christ, through the work of the cross, through the word of God, then the divine energies of God are being imparted into each and every one of us. We are being created from a human being. We're being made in the image and the likeness of God. You know, when God created man in the beginning, it says we were made in his image.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And that God is redoing, he's rebuilding, he's redecorating his image within each and every one of us. You know, that human nature has got to change. You see, the human nature, in one sense, is an icon. When God created man in the beginning, the human nature, the human man, was an icon of who God is. I notice that today, previously we used to say on computers, we use icons to get into certain things. Icon is a spiritual word. And an icon would take you deeper into the things. It reveals things that are hidden. Now we've changed it. We call them apps. We don't really want people to realize any spiritual connotations at all. But on a computer, we use an icon and it takes us somewhere else. And you know, we, being the children of God, are being made as an icon in the image of God.
Amen.
And that icon, if people will touch us, we'll get into contact with us, we will take them to God himself.
Mm-hmm.
We will take them into the presence of God. We will show them, that's what we're supposed to do, we will show them who Jesus really is, and
wow,
not what the world has portrayed Jesus. And so the icon, the image of a deity, the nature of God in us, in humanity, living through us, showing himself to the world, that the world might repent from its sin and change its way. And so God wants this image of sin to be eradicated from each and every one of us. God wants us to be in his likeness. The sin in our lives has marred us from being like God. The sin in the lives of men and women has defiled the deity of God in each and every one of us. And then we fell. God is about to, through Christ, is redeeming humanity. Through Christ, he did it 2,000 years ago, and the process is still ongoing. The process is still moving forward. When the sons of God assume humanity, the process of being renewed has been begun in our lives. That fact that God came in, the Son of God came, and he took upon himself the form of a man. He took upon himself humanity. That was the process that began of the renewing of the man of this world. And as we are joined in Christ, this is a union. And then we become, by the grace of God, by the nature of God, we become children of the living God.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. It is by his grace and by the nature of God that we become children of God through Christ, through his body, and that this body is renewed, it is refreshed, it's regenerated, and we are partakers of his grace, partakers of his strength, partakers of his righteousness, partakers of his love, and we take upon ourselves those attributes of God into our lives. You know, it's like taking a sword and placing it into a fire. And as you put that sword in the fire and you leave it there, and the intensity of the fire imparts itself into the sword. And then when you pull the sword out, the sword is glowing red with the intensity that the fire has imparted into it. And today, as we spend time in the presence of God, God wants to impart into us the intensity of his presence. God wants you and I to take upon ourselves the very heat of the living God. God wants us to take upon ourselves the very presence of the power of the Word of God, so that it changes us. The heat of the fire changes the sword.
Amen.
The presence of God changes us. The presence of Christ in each and every one of us will change us. And God called each and every one of his church to change, to be formed in his very image, to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. The Lord bless
Amen.
You, strengthen you, and encourage you. Amen.